of the Arts Commission on Monday, December 1st, 2025. I'm calling this meeting to order. Boom. And I'm asking our Commission Secretary, Mr. Manraj Dhaliwal, to call the roll.
President Collins?
Present.
Vice President Shioda?
Present.
Commissioner Beltran will be here shortly. Commissioner Benavides is absent. Commissioner Brenzel?
Here.
Commissioner Carney?
Present.
Commissioner Ferris?
Here.
Commissioner Mousley?
Present.
Commissioner Perez is absent. Commissioner Quint?
Present.
Commissioner Rothschild is absent. Commissioner Shelby is absent. Commissioner Walker?
Here.
And ex officio So is absent. We have quorum for today's meeting. Also, for the record, Director of Cultural Affairs Ralph Remington, Deputy Director of Programs Eben Glenn, and Acting Chief of Staff Veronica Limcocco are in attendance. President Collins?
Thank you. Do we have any agenda changes or adjustments?
No agenda changes.
And now for some public meeting announcements. I'd like to welcome all persons interested in this meeting to attend in person at City Hall Room 416. This meeting is airing live on SFGov TV 2, Comcast 78, Astound 26, and AT&T UVerse 99. I want to remind us of the policies and procedures for public meetings. At this meeting, we are bound to follow the structure of our agenda and adhere to the best practices set out in the Good Government Guide. At every public meeting, there will be an opportunity for general public comment, where members may comment on any item pertaining to this body. Public comment will be taken in person with remote access provided to those who require an ADA accommodation. Respectfully, we ask that you keep your public comment on topic. Each public comment is limited to 3 minutes. Please understand that the Commission does not contribute dialogue, gestures, or any comments towards public comments. Each comment will be documented for public records. As a courtesy, the fourth floor has a women's restroom located on the northeast side, a men's on the southeast side, just outside this room, and an all-gender restroom on the southwest side. In case of emergency, your nearest stair exit is at the southeast corner on the fourth floor right outside this door. There are stair exits located on each corner of the floor. It is recommended to pull the fire alarm and use the stairs. The fire alarm is a variable tone, and strobe lights will flash. If strobe lights flash and alarms go off, you must evacuate the building. And now I will turn it over to our agency secretary, Manraj Dhaliwal, for some public comment instructions.
For members of the public joining in person who wish to comment on agenda items, once you are called on, then you will be asked to voice your comment at the podium. You will see blank public comment cards are located on the podium. You are recommended but not required to fill out this card, which will be included in the minutes. I will start your 3 minutes when you speak using a visual timer. You will also receive a 30-second audible warning. When your time is up, I will say your time is up. Participants who wish to speak on other agenda items may listen for the next public comment opportunity. Persons who speak during the public comment period at today's meeting of the Arts Commission may supply a brief written summary of the comments to be included in the minutes if it is 150 words or less to art-info@sfgov.org. The Arts Commission may reject the summary if it exceeds the prescribed word limit or is not an accurate summary of the speaker's public comment. Persons unable to attend an Arts Commission meeting may submit correspondence to the Arts Commission in connection with an agenda item. The Commission Secretary will post these documents adjacent to the agenda if they are one page in length. If they are longer than one page, the Arts Commission will make such documents available for public inspection and copying. Please note, correspondence submitted to the Arts Commission will not be read aloud during the meeting. Names and addresses included in these submittals may be public. Submittals may be made anonymously. Written comments pertaining to this meeting should be submitted to art-info@sfgov.org by 5 p.m. before the date of the meeting to ensure comments are shared with commissioners ahead of the meeting. If you need to request a reasonable accommodation under the ADA or need to request language assistance, you must contact the Commission Secretary at least 48 hours in advance of the meeting at art-info@sfgov.org. Our office will make every effort to accommodate all requests. President Collins, please proceed with the meeting when you are ready.
Thank you. I would like to start by asking Commissioner Susie Ferris to read our land acknowledgement statement.
Thank you, President Collins. The San Francisco Arts Commission acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who were the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. As a department dedicated to promoting a diverse and equitable arts and culture environment in San Francisco, we are committed to supporting the traditional and contemporary evolution of the American Indian community.
Thank you. I'd like now to call agenda item number two. I'm calling agenda item number two, which is approval of the minutes, discussion and possible motion to approve the November 3rd, 2025 minutes. May I ask for a motion and a second?
So moved, Shioda.
Second, Walker.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on agenda item number two, approval of the minutes?
For those joining in person, please proceed to the public comment podium and fill out the public comment information card. We are currently on item two. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer on the podium and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. I'm requesting comments from those who are in person. Is there anyone like to make a public comment on the current agenda item? Seeing no requests for public comment is now closed.
I'm now asking for any commissioner discussion or comments. Seeing none, may I have a final motion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. I am now calling agenda item number three, which is general public comment. This item allows members of the public to comment generally on matters within the committee's, the commission's purview, as well as to suggest new agenda items for the commission's consideration. Is there any public comment on item number three, general public comment?
For those joining in person, please proceed to the public comment podium and fill out the public comment information card. We are currently on item three. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer on the podium and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. I'm requesting comments from those who are in person. Is there anyone who'd like to make a public comment on the current agenda item? And I believe we might have a ADA accommodation comment through WebEx.
Wonderful.
Just one moment.
Take the time we take.
Hi, Richard, can you hear us? Hello, Richard.
I will say, if there's any problem, because this is an accommodation, I'm willing to come back to this item to make sure that we have an opportunity for this individual to be heard.
Okay. Makes sense.
Richard?
Yes.
There we are. There. Okay.
You have 3 minutes to state your public comment, and I will start the time once you begin speaking.
Oh, hello, commissioners. My name is Richard Rothman. And I've been interested over the last 10 years in saving New Deal era murals on city property, namely Coy Tower and the Mother's Building. And I've just been following the Streamline Commission and realized the Art Commission has a fiduciary responsibility for taking care of artwork that's on the Civic Art Collection, which these murals are. And Rec and Park's main business is playing areas and open space, not art. And same with the zoo. The zoo's main is taking care of animals. And they don't seem to making it a high priority. And before I got involved in the 1990s, the Art Commission got money to fix the murals in the Mother's Building. But since Rec and Park didn't fix the building, they had to give the money back. And there needs the Art Commission needs, instead of being a passive player, they need to be an active player in seeing that these murals are protected. And people always ask me, they cannot be removed because they're frescoes and painted on the wall. So the Art Commission needs to be more aggressive and maybe take over the buildings or come to some other conclusion that the Art Commission plays a more aggressive role and that these murals are saved. Because if they're not saved in the near future, the building's going to be lost and these murals will be lost forever. You can see these murals on my webpage, richardrothman.net. So I know there's going to be changes to the Art Commission and the mayor wants to merge them, but I just hope maybe you can ask Rec and Park and the Zoo to come to one of their meetings and see what they have to say about Supervisor Melgar gave us money to do a study. Former Supervisor Katie Tang gave us money to fix the immediate repairs, and we got some other grants. But the building really needs tender, loving care. And I think the Art Commission, because these murals are part of the civic collection, that the Art Commission needs to be more aggressive and take a more leadership role in seeing these murals are protected. And also Coy Tower, too. You know, we had to put a ballot measure on the ballot to get the city to fix Coy Tower. And so I just hope the Art Commission will be more aggressive in protecting these murals, or maybe asking Rec and Park and the Zoo to come to a meeting and talk about this issue.
Thank you, Richard. Your time is up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there any further public?
No additional public comment. Public comment is now closed.
Thank you. I'm now calling agenda item number 4. Agenda item number 4 is the director's report. I'm introducing the director of cultural affairs, Ralph Remington, to give his report.
Thank you, President Collins. Good afternoon, commissioners. I hope you all had a restful and wonderful Thanksgiving break for all of those who celebrate. December is finally here, and I'm thankful for all the amazing work that we have been able to accomplish this past year working together. I look forward to us continuing the great work that we are doing as we close out 2025 and continue into 2026. And with that, I just want to take a note of personal privilege and say thank you all for coming here, showing up, your unpaid volunteers, and you do this on behalf of the constituents of our city. And so for that, I am grateful, and I know we are all grateful. So I want to thank you on behalf of the citizens of the city, on behalf of myself, for all the work that you've done, and that you continue to do. So I know it's not easy, and it's, you know, it's very difficult sometimes, especially when times when we can't make quorum, and then we call a commissioner, and just last week, Commissioner Benavides came in and sailed in at the last minute and saved our meeting, and that was really important. And for people to take it that seriously and to take your roles to the public that seriously, it means a lot. And they don't understand how much work you all do, not just in these meetings, but also the works of art that you go see on a consistent basis, that you go around to galleries, sites for CDR. I know Commissioner Carney goes into every single thing that's up for CDR, Commissioner Carty goes and visits that site. And all of you do all of this work all the time. And it's not just the meetings that the public sees, but it's also the meetings that, it's also the events that you attend, the ribbon cuttings that you attend. I know Commissioner Walker attends a ton of events. I always see her everywhere, all the time, and pops up everywhere. And all of you do. I'm just calling a couple, of course, President Collins and Vice President Sciotta, and I mean, all of you all do all this work all the time. And then the work that you do to take on the commission chairs, the public doesn't know that the chairs of these commissions have to do a lot of extra work on top of the committee work. So they have to do all of that work. And then at the end of the year, to try to get ready for the next year with the nominating committee and all the things that you all have to do, so, and evaluating all of that. So thank you for all the work that you've done all year. So for that, I think all of us should give everyone, yourselves, a round of applause. And I know she's sitting out there. I also want to thank our general counsel, Lauren Curry. And of course, our staff that work tirelessly all year long and everything. So to kick off this month's report, I'd like to share a few highlights from some recent events of this past month. On November 11th, I attended Zacco Dance's 45th anniversary celebration and benefit that honored Joanna Hygood. Commissioner Marcus Shelby also performed at the event, and it was really excellent. I was there with Commissioner Shioda, and we had a great time that evening. And Zacco Dance is an amazing gift to our city and one of our great natural resources here. On November 13th, our community investment staff represented the Arts Commission at the second Fillmore Community Action Plan community gathering at the African American Art and Culture Complex organized by the mayor's office. I want to thank Deputy Director Evan Glenn for representing us there as well and leading that effort. All senior staff attended the first community gathering on September 24th. Excuse me. On November 19th, I was honored to speak at the Native American Heritage Month celebration, Indigenize SF and Shaping Legacy Community Celebration. It was held in the Green Room at the War Memorial Veterans Building. I was joined by President Collins, who also participated on a discussion panel. Commissioners Beltran and Perez and SFAC staff were also in attendance. A special shout out to Senior Program Manager Angela Carrier for all of her work on shaping legacy and with helping organize the celebration. It was excellent. Some community investment updates. Excuse me. I'm happy to share nominations are now open for the Ebony McKinney Arts Leadership Award. This award honors one San Francisco arts leader whose work reflects what Ebony understood, that arts and culture workers are essential infrastructure. The Arts Commission is proud to partner with a Queer Women of Color Media Arts Project to administer the final iteration of this grant category. Nominations are due December 10th, 2025. The awardee will receive a $20,000 grant, will be featured in a special recognition video, and honored at our upcoming annual convening in February. Arts and culture professionals, administrators, beloved artists, cultural workers, independent or employed, who have been San Francisco residents since November 2023 are encouraged to apply. Self-nominations are welcome and encouraged. Visit QWOCMAP's website for more details and to submit nominations by December 10th. A reminder, art vendor and City Hall holiday markets. The holiday season is coming up fast. This year, shop local and support San Francisco craft makers and artists. Please remember to join us tomorrow, Tuesday, December 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. for our annual art vendor holiday market in the lobby of the War Memorial Veterans Building. The market will feature a special performance by Yuka Lenny from 12:30 to 3 p.m. Also, the annual City Hall holiday pop-up shop will take place on December 9th in the Northlight Court from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., featuring over 50 local artists, merchants, and craftsmakers. Some gallery updates. I'd like to share a final reminder that Two Bright Disturbances, a group exhibition curated by SFAC Acting Director of Galleries and Public Programs, Jackie M., is on view at the SFAC Main Gallery through December 13, 2025. If you have not had a chance to experience this wonderful exhibition, please make sure to stop by the gallery in the War Memorial Veterans Building before it closes. Some public art updates. PSA video. As part of our effort to share more about the amazing work that we do here at the Arts Commission, I'm happy to announce and officially premiere the first of our new PSA video series. The first SFAC PSA is focused on our civic art collection and the work that goes into graffiti abatement. Let's take a look at the video now.
San Francisco's civic art collection can be found throughout the city from Ocean Beach to San Francisco International Airport. support. It includes monuments like McKinley Monument behind me, as well as contemporary artworks like Auspicious Clouds in Chinatown. We really depend on our partnerships with our conservation contractors like ARG Conservation Services and collaboration with city agencies and our community to maintain this fantastic civic art collection for San Franciscans of today and tomorrow. The Arts Commission receives notifications of vandalism a variety of ways from city partner agencies like Recreation and Parks or from 301 from city residents like you. And when we receive the notification that an artwork has been vandalized, I reach out to one of our trusted conservation contractors to mobilize to abate the graffiti or whatever the vandalism is.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Correa. I'm a principal at ARG Conservation Services.
And I'm Joanna Moreno, Senior Conservator at ARG Conservation Services.
Our company has been working together with the Arts Commission for the past 20 years to care for public art and monuments in San Francisco.
This morning we came to remove a big tag that was on the three of the elevations. This proved to be very stubborn. Usually we take just fresh washing and paint a stripper to remove the tag. Since we have been maintaining the monument for many years, we apply an anti-graffiti coating, so removal is usually fast.
In addition to graffiti removal, we also work with the Arts Commission to maintain the monuments, doing everything from structural improvements to conservation of finishes such as painted metals or bronze like you see here.
So it's really important for us to have partnership from San Francisco residents, and we love it when you submit photographs with your 311 request.
A special shout out to Deputy Director Eben Glenn, the Public Information Officer Edward Tom, and Civic Art Collection and Public Art Program Project Manager Grace Weiss for all of their work on this initiative. We will be sharing the video across all our socials and include a link in our next newsletter. Our next PSA will be focused on the work of our community investments team and all that goes into our grant-making process, and that'll be scheduled to come out summer of 2026. This is just a side note. This is something that Eben wanted to do after he kind of got a lay of the land, and he came aboard and said, you know, the public doesn't, they know the Arts Commission exists, but they don't really know who we are and what we do and the things, the various processes. Maybe there's a way to show it. And so Eben, like, you know, took that initiative and jumped out there and worked with his team to get this up and running. So I want to just do another shout out for Deputy Director Eben Glenn. Yeah. So now a reminder call for artists. So the request for proposals, RFP opportunity for Civic Center Plaza temporary sculpture installation is open and accepting proposals. We invite artists and artist teams residing in the United States as well as artists represented by US-based galleries to submit proposals for the temporary display of an existing freestanding sculpture or series of sculptures of prominent scale in San Francisco's Civic Center Plaza located in front of City Hall. The deadline to submit proposals is January 12, 2026 by 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. Some general reminders and upcoming events. I'd like to share a reminder to all commissioners to please complete your end of year trainings and other requirements by December 31st. A reminder that on Wednesday, December 3rd, the Commission's Streamlining Task Force will hold its next scheduled meeting to finalize its report of recommendations to the Mayor and Board of Supervisors. Task Force members will consider recommendations based on evaluation criteria and revisit outstanding decisions for the Arts Commission. If you would like to attend the meeting in person, you may do so at City Hall, room 263, second floor this time, so not the fourth, starting at 1 p.m., and the meeting will also be streamed virtually via WebEx. On December 19th, SF Heritage will host an in-person celebration to commemorate the 150th anniversary of Lauda's Fountain and the 115th anniversary of the famous 1910 Christmas Eve performance that took place at the Fountain by Luisa Tetrazzini. The celebration will feature a history panel with SF Heritage and Arts Commission staff, as well as a special performance by a local opera singer to recreate the 1910 performance. The Arts Commission has also partnered with SF Public Library to issue a limited edition library card featuring historic and modern images of the fountain that will be released later this winter. More details and invites will be shared soon. So, update on Valancourt Fountain. Following full commission's November 3rd, 2025 motion to approve the removal of the Embarcadero Fountain by Armand Valancourt, to protect the health and safety of residents and visitors from the identified structural deterioration and move it to storage, the following has taken place. On November 4th, the city issued notice to the artist indicating the city's intent to remove the fountain in 90 days and providing the artist the opportunity to remove or pay for the removal of the fountain within 90 days. On November 6th, the city posted notice in the San Francisco Chronicle for 30 days to notify certain community organizations of the opportunity to agree to remove the fountain within 30 days and pay for and remove the fountain within 90 days. To date, the city has not received a response from the artist or their representatives. On November 7th, RPD installed a taller 8-foot fence around the fountain and had additional park rangers patrolling the site. Arts Commission is working with RPD, Rec Park Department, to bring on a consultant to prepare a assembly plan and storage plan, and to consult on historic interpretation as part of the broader Embarcadero Plaza. The disassembly, cataloging, and secure storage of the sculptural concrete arms and back wall will allow for further study of the fountain's condition and possible restoration, repair, relocation, repurposing, or other future actions relating to the fountain. The consultant will also help facilitate community discussions, gather public input, and develop ideas that honor the site's layered histories while informing its future design and interpretation, including the fountain's possible restoration, repair, relocation, repurposing, or other future actions. The consultant will have experience with large-scale art or architectural preservation projects, in particular experience with reinforced concrete art, as well as public engagement. Arts Commission will coordinate with RPD on the review of proposals, and the intent is to award the contract this month. The goal is to have a disassembly and storage plan completed by early February 2026 so that a contractor may proceed with the removal process. The Arts Commission will coordinate with RPD on the selection of the contractor to disassemble and store the artwork, as well as the selection of a contractor to further investigate the fountain's condition. And if anyone has any questions, Public Art Program Director Mary Chu is available to answer any commissioner questions at this time, if there are any.
About this?
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah. About this part.
But okay. I really appreciate the update. I'm sure everybody interested is too. I understand that at this point there's not the option going forward, and it sort of depends on having partners come from the private sector to make those opportunities available. It would be nice to know what, because there's a 3-year commitment for storage. So kind of what happens next, mm-hmm. if nobody doesn't.
Right.
I think people need to understand that. Not right now, mm-hmm. As part of a future update.
So let me just make a comment. And this has a good conclusion to it. And I have conferred with our city attorney, Lauren Curry. I would like for this to come on a regular cadence before the public also. And I have conferred with Commissioner Brenzel and with Commissioner Carney to work informally with staff, but also so that we can provide public notice on the progress and what the plan is. I think it's healthy. I've asked and I've talked with Director Remington and with Lauren Curry about this for it to go to visual arts where it can be agendized. I kind of would love for the public to come out here and know what we're doing. And then it can come to the commission, you know, after it's gone to VAC, so that during these next 4 to 6 months, that everybody has a chance to know exactly what's going on and that we keep our eyes on the process. And I really want to thank staff very, very strongly. I know that staff is working diligently on this. Our director is working diligently on this. And I think that good will come of it if the public has an opportunity also to know what's going on.
I totally agree, and I know staff is really committed to this as well. But as it came up in all of the input we've received around the state of murals and the state of, there's a, you know, part of what this PR thing, and I love that we're doing this, is there's mixed ways our city has dealt with our public art, and some of it is, you know, there's responsibility for upkeep, and some, you know, especially the long term, it's different. You know, we've changed over the years our policies. So this conversation will help not only this project, but just in general how we review public art and what our responsibility is, you know, in choosing it, in creating it, and the responsibility to the future, who will be responsible for it somewhere or not.
No, I think this is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, I know that we're not supposed to get into deep discussions on not agendized items, so I'm just...
Well, this is an agendized discussion.
I want to add one more coda to it. What I've said is that this is going to be looked at over time internationally.
Yep.
And we want to ensure that the city and county of San Francisco understood what the responsibility was. As a civic body, that we acquitted ourselves of that responsibility in honor of the artist, of the art in our collection, and that good will come of this if we really continue to do the right thing. It's going to help everyone, as Commissioner Walker, find what is the path forward.
Because and it comes at a time when we're also reviewing our own infrastructure.
Right.
So I think it's, which you also reported on, this, you know, the merge.
So what will be nice about this is it will be agendized.
Yeah.
And we'll have staff reporting on it, and we can have public discussion, and we have two commissioners who will help us to navigate that. Back to the thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, commissioners. And with that, this concludes the director's report for the December 1st full commission meeting. I'd be happy to take any questions on anything else you may have.
Well, I will make one other comment, and that is while you were praising all of us, I think the big chore now for all of us is get your trainings in. And as soon as that Form 700 happens, just knock it out and get it done, and then you don't have to worry about it. By the way, if you haven't taken the trainings, they are really, really very clear, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, the max. You can get these set done very, very effectively, and that'll leave room for the Form 700 after the beginning. Commissioner Walker?
Yes, on one of the other issues you talked about, going to some of the events that are happening, I went to an event at the Herbst the other night and walked by the opera had organized an outdoor artist mart, which is, you know, one of these things that are happening all over town usually from the business districts and with individual artists participating. But I really... There's interest from all of these different events to include artists, and it would be great to interface more to make these things available. Because, you know, all the night performances they're closing down Ellis Street, there's a Castro, there's a Valencia Street, they close down and have performances and have artists there, you know, doing their thing. And I feel like those are things that are going to happen over the next 10 years. This is not going to be a short-term thing. It's part of what the city is doing as we change mm-hmm. as we go through this adjustment we're in, and especially in the merchant areas. So I hope that we can have our community investments take that on as a project of that we don't necessarily focus on, but it might be a street artist extension. I'm not sure what it is, but it kind of goes along with what we're thinking about with bringing in the film industry. You know, it's a lot of individual businesses rather than nonprofits, and there's a lot of need for support and communicating in there. So I don't know where it goes, but I think we need to, you know, be part of it.
And Commissioner Walker, I think what you highlight also is confusion. it is confusing to those of us who are staying very yeah. close to it.
Yep.
You know, what is activity that is in that type of engagement as opposed to what is in the cultural dimension? And that's why we've been asking for a plan. And so I think that it's important to show up at the Streamlining Commission and say these things, because there may be some organization chart, but I don't believe that there is a plan. And what you're talking about is how do we make sure that in this vibrance that we all want, that we understand the various roles and relationships that the departments have towards a common goal.
Yep.
And right now, I think that it is confusing. That's my opinion.
And it's always confusing to change, for sure. Yeah.
And I will say, too, that to that end, to that point, that at that December 3rd meeting, it's important if you have opinions and viewpoints about where CDR should be and what the role of CDR should be going forward, whether it goes to planning or whether it stays here and what it does, then that is the important meeting to be there and make your voices heard if you so desire.
Is there any further comment on the director's report? Is there any public comment on the director's report?
For those joining in person, please proceed to the public comment podium and fill out the public comment information card. We are currently on item 4. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see visual timer on the podium and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. I'm requesting comments from those who are in person. Is there anyone who'd like to make a public comment on the current agenda item?
Yes.
Seeing no request for public comment, public comment is now closed.
I'm now calling agenda item number 5. Agenda item number 5, the committee reports and committee matters for discussion. I'm first calling agenda item 5.1, Civic Design Review Report, and I'm introducing Committee Chair Deborah Walker to present the report on the Civic Design Review Committee.
Thank you, President Collins. At the November 17th Design Review Committee, the committee reviewed 3 major design projects. All of these are out at the airport. It's very exciting, even in these areas that are mostly storage, unloading, that type of thing. It's really amazing what our staff is doing, working with the airport on especially these 3 projects. SFO Westfield Campus Cargo Building 6261 focused on detailing, including a finalized truck court lighting system and a continued sustainability major, such as extensive rooftop solar, and an LED gold target. Public art opportunities were identified at the main entry plaza with possible future sites at the AirTrain station. The committee unanimously approved the phase 3 review. Then the SFO Terminal 3 West Modernization Project team shared refinements to the landside facade. This is that the connection between the last terminals at the airport, airside elements, and the outdoor terrace. Commissioners praised improvements in wayfinding, comfort, and architectural clarity, and the staff confirmed coordination with future curbside upgrades. The committee unanimously approved the phase 3 review. And you'll see the slide there where one of the major things was being able to identify where you walk in instead of walking into glass. Mm. And it these areas of warmth that kind of attract you in. Then the final project, the committee also reviewed the SFO Terminal 3 West Modernization Courtyard 4 connector, The project team shared two-level connectors and a five-sided tower designed with facade treatments responsive to sun exposure and integrated with surrounding terminal architecture. Notable detailing included coordinated panel joints and soffit alignment. The committee unanimously approved the phase three review. And this completes my report. Any commissioners on the committee want to weigh in? These were important processes that we've been reviewing and adapting. And thank the staff for this, because the airport loves working with the Arts Commission, and we all know why.
I had the opportunity to sit in, and it always is a point of absolute gratitude, the level of work that goes on. There were 10 or 15 architects, engineers, lighting designers, landscape, you know, architects in the audience presenting on this project. And one of the things that Director Remington just said is that the integration of civic design and public art is unheralded, I think, in the world. It's not a broken relationship. It produces notable impact on public buildings for which we are deeply prideful. And for this to be disassembled, the amount, and everyone who goes out to the airport has to understand that they are designing simultaneously for the installation of major pieces of art that take engineering to get into the building. They are behind niches. There's lighting that is designed. None of this stuff is happening. It's all bespoke, and it shows up at this level of museum quality. And so if we can be really clear, you know, about where this stays, you know, we should be on fire about that. Because why would you change a winning game that has such impact? And also the way that people in the public are starting to wayfind. Commissioner Walker, would you just talk a little bit about that? Because you begin to define in the architecture wayfinding that then finds its way into the art.
Absolutely. I mean, part of the challenge of the airport in general is just getting from one place to another, especially if you're changing planes. And I think that a lot of the input we have is it's certainly to create impact initially, but it's also to, you know, provide the ability to see which way to go and do that. Not necessarily just with signs, but with, oh, well, that's obviously, it's a warm place, that's the opening, clearly, you know, it's inviting. And sometimes in the process of the planners, the architects, they don't necessarily, just like anybody else making decisions, we must go to the end user and respond from, you know, how is it going to feel out there? And I think that's the part of the process that this group, CDR, the Arts Commission in general, it provides to the industry. You know, it's, I mean, that's the point of it, as I see it, and the different professions that are involved in the CDR process on all sides. I mean, that's kind of why we end up with these beautiful pieces that have surprises along the way, and, you know.
I think it was also, would you just comment also, because this is, you know, the terminal area, but the cargo area has, yeah. Would you just comment on the level of care that is being applied to, you know, this, yeah, cargo? This is not our big public space.
Well, the cargo areas are, most of us don't, we maybe go by it, especially on the train when we're going to parking and, you know, the Kiss and Park and all of, Kiss and Fly, excuse me.
Just Kiss.
I'm working on an image, yeah, there. And it's really thinking about that, you know, what people are doing as they're coming in, especially in this cargo area, because we don't know what, I mean, who of us, except maybe you, knew what happened out in some of these buildings. But they unload the cargo and they load it or keep it there, load some of it. Everybody's coming and going in these areas around the people who are parking their cars and getting on the train. And so we're looking now at not just like in the park as you come into a building, but as you're on the train on the roofs, you know, I mean, the ability to be out there and provide that kind of input that others don't necessarily look at, you know. And that's kind of the neat part about the, at least the civic design review process, is providing that kind of input. And, you know, all of us try and get out to these locations, including Hetch Hetchy, I think you've been out there, when these projects, and there are a lot of them are utilitarian. But, you know, it's the workforce. I mean, everybody that uses that cargo building, they're driving a truck, they're unloading, they're driving a little forklift, they're, you know, they're there to pick stuff up. So,
I just want to kind of pile on that idea. in that, the thing about planning and the thing about any lens is, and I'll make this very quick, is that it is utilitarian. It is getting from A to B. And I call it the STEM versus STEAM conversation, which is, you know, you've got STEM, which is science, technology, but there's no art, there's no humanities. And the thing about CDR is, from an artist's point of view, we are the humanities lens within these spaces. So in a time when, yes, you've got to optimize, but when you think about branding being all things in all worlds now, well, this is a huge branding exercise for San Francisco. It's the first thing people see. It's the first thing that they love. It's the impression. It's the vibe. And that vibe does not come from planning. That vibe comes from artists and an artist's point of view and how a person, a human, goes through space, not optimizing how A to B happens, because we've all been in airports where you can get wherever you want to go, but you cannot wait to get out of that airport. It's so awful. It is not made for humans. So our lens is that lens, but I'm going to say the staff excels at putting that art within this very technical box of structural engineering and functional design and sustainability, LEED building codes, earthquake codes, HDA, HVAC, all the things that go into this. But we make placemaking that has humans in mind. So that's my argument for that.
Commissioner Walker, could we return to the terminal slide that is a couple of slides back? Yes, this
one. That one. That's what
Commissioner
I'm saying.
Walker, during the course of the committee meeting, you were talking a good deal about passengers arriving typically in stress.
Yeah.
And would you comment, because this goes to what Commissioner Shioda is talking about, that the building into the environment this humanistic quality, and I think this slide begins that conversation. Would you just comment on that part of the discussion?
Well, that's the whole concept of this, I think, is public buildings are for everybody, right? And they all have a different function. The stuff at the airport is slightly different than, you know, when we worked at the Hetch Hetchy plants or the water delivery system, those type of things. Some are primarily for staff, for employees, and some are for these type of situations, which we know has stress. Anybody traveling, it's kind of like going to the dentist. You know, it's your blood pressure goes up. So things like the color you use, you know, I mean, that's what the influence of art is, and it's not unique. I mean, there are architects who are very strong in that capacity as well. I mean, it's not exclusive, but it's, again, putting yourself more in the end user part of this as an experience, which I think every artist I know does. It's our interpretation of what's going on in the medium we use, kind of thing. So I feel like it's, you know, it's important to do that. Now, one of the things that I'm talking about too, though, is what this infrastructure stuff you're talking about, which is not related, but it's happening, and how we, what our committee does happens within a system. And so the system here is changing. And the question is, how do we hold the value of what we do here in an effective way to really create these kind of impacts. That's really it. And I feel like I appreciate that we're having the conversation citywide about it. I have mixed feelings about where the end goal should be, but the input of the artist and staff especially, because staff spends way more time than I do on these committees. The staff does the work. We hone it out, and they interpret the process, but they need to be involved as much as they are now in all of these projects. And how we do it, it needs to be effective.
Thank you. Commissioner Carney, just before Commissioner Sciotta, would you have any comments about this work?
Well, I did have my misgivings initially about the airport. I feel there was a lack of unity. And so part of the things that I stressed during the review of this was getting unity within the curved areas. You know, the colors were, we needed more unity with the color and the shapes and the proportions. And I felt that we were losing that. And so that's what I strive to achieve. And I think that we came a long way. I think CD4 will turn out much better than CD3, which to me stands out as a, even though it's a new building, I think that there were some mistakes in the proportions, the colors, and the shapes. So I think that CD4 will be better than that one. I think that the Terminal 3 will be a better fit with Terminal 1 than it would have been otherwise. I feel that the sky bridges linking to the garage will be better in Terminal 3 than it is in Terminal 1. And I think the materials and the way the fenestration is handled will be better in Terminal 3 than it was in Terminal 1 as well. As for the more utilitarian area where all the warehouses are, I think there could be more unity. That's been my main objection throughout this whole process. And I've strived to make it a little bit better. Some areas are vertically proportioned and some are horizontally proportioned, which I had problems with, and I brought that up at every meeting. And I do feel there was a bit of a bait and switch on the garage. The garage concept phase changed dramatically to the phase one phase, and I did have problems with that. Hopefully they fixed that a little bit, but it's actually overwhelming to the office building, I think. So that's my biggest problem area with that. I think the process of civic design review worked better here with the Arts Commission than I see it possibly working with the Planning Commission. And I think the connection between VAC and CDR is imperative. And I think what you said during your introduction is very important to stress on, when is that, Wednesday, December 3rd, the exact statement that you made, which is very brief and to the point about, you know, our function working within this commission. I think it would be great if you echo that. And then as Commissioner Walker and Sciotta were saying, the bridge between CDR and VAC is why it works so well. Anyway, I hated to unload some of my objections to the whole thing, but I think the airport in general is going to be better than it would have been. I think that if we keep pushing during the West Campus portion, we can make it better as well.
Yeah, I just want to, again, press the button of, like, you know, you can build something that is functionally sound and works, but what our function within that process is to do things like, you know, comment on this very architecturally beautiful entrance that is also wayfinding with the colorization that is very calming and yet distinct to tell you where to go. Those are things that we're in a race and we're in a competition with all other cities. With, you can work anywhere now, you can live anywhere now, you can fly out of many different hubs now. There's artwork in public spaces all over every city now. We've had a lot of expats from San Francisco. For the first time in many years, they've gone other places. So our public spaces don't just need to function, they need to have a vibe. And again, that's where the Art Commission, our lens, our part of this purpose is to look at that and comment on that and to make people feel welcome, safe, comfortable, happy. I've had so many people visit and you know, if they just see what they see on the news and I show them someplace else, they're like, wow, these stories matter. The story that Eben is telling about the graffiti abatement, the story of building this space or what the Art Commission does. It matters, and this airport and our process are part in commenting to the environment of this airport is by far probably one of the most important things that we can do as within the Arts Commission. So, yeah. You need to compete and win.
Commissioner Quinn, as a relative newcomer and somewhat of an outsider to these processes, I was very struck in my first couple of CDR meetings to sort of understand the impact that the commission had on exactly what Commissioner Carney was saying, which was the unity of the buildings and the experience, which is not to say that there aren't architects who are prioritizing human-centered design, but there was no step in the process in which there was one body whose incentive was to think about the end user, to think about the aesthetic coherence and standard. And so I felt like there was no other place in that process where the work that CDR did could have happened without that group. So in thinking about the importance of CDR, I would just mention that. And second, San Francisco is a city. We have much natural beauty, but I would say our architectural beauty is probably quite rivaled to that. And so to seed what much of our city stands for, both to, I guess, our nation, it seems to me just not a thing to give up and lose to any other process or department.
Thank you. I just actually have a question. We're talking somewhat about CDR as if maybe some change is coming to it. And the reason I'm asking this question is that I haven't been briefed on what that change might be or what the proposal is. So I'm sitting listening to this wanting to respond because I feel like I'm on CDR, but nobody's asked me about it or told me that something's changing. So I just want to make sure I'm not missing something or that the public's not missing something that's been put out to describe what's happening.
CDR, there's a recommendation from the task force.
There is.
There's not a recommendation. There's a conversation happening.
Oh, there's a conversation. Okay. So there's not a specific recommendation that people are responding to.
Well, just having the conversation about it brings it up.
I see. Okay.
So I think they want to put it under the planning commission, as part of the planning commission rather than, and I don't know how that works because it's not clear as if it would have Arts Commission people or
it
doesn't define what the connection is between staff and what the requirements are. So it's kind of just vague.
Headline.
Okay. So I would suggest going to the meeting on Wednesday and all of us can ask that question of what does this mean?
Okay, great. Thank you. That's super.
My statement is it's not broken.
Right, okay.
Why would you try to fix something that's not broken? And the evidence of it not being broken is that we get the highest rating of an airport sometimes in the world. And one of the major factors is the integration of the design and the art. That is CDR and VAC. So if you're looking at the metrics of success, 55 million people before COVID, but it's up to 53 million people come through our airport. So why would you break something that is that successful?
Well, and that's just the airport. That doesn't include all the park and
rec. It keeps going on and on. We were just talking about the airport.
Right, okay.
You know, the airport just being the proxy
because that's
the conversation.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Because we're staying on topic.
All right. Anyway, this completes my report.
Thank you. I say you have to let the horses run, and this is one of those ones where we really needed to have this discussion because it's ripe. And thank you, Commissioner Walker, and thank you all members of the Civic Design, and also our staff.
Yeah,
staff.
Can't thank them enough.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on the Civic Design Review report?
One last comment I just want to make as chair of VAC. I want to second how important it is to have those conversations between VAC and CDR, especially when looking at the placement of the art and how it will affect the overall flow, how it will affect the community that's going to see it. I affectionately, when I first came to the commission and understanding the work that CDR does, called it the No Ugly Buildings Committee. And I think that in some ways really stands the idea that you need that art perspective, you need that art eye to really give you some insight that Planning Commission by itself may not have. You know, so I just wanted to reiterate that and reiterate too, whatever happens to CDR, having that conversation between VAC and where the art's going to go is so important. So I think removing it from the Arts Commission could potentially be detrimental.
By the way, there was an interesting thing that I may have noticed, I may have been wrong. It was actually in one of the buildings, they moved the staircase slightly, which then opened up a much more articulated area for the art. That's the kind of stuff that happens. You push it against the wall, or you do this, that, and you haven't considered how light will flow through,
yeah,
and what is that opportunity there.
And I think they did that on their own, because we were talking about that as an opportunity, that stairwell and
right,
what it did, and that the more they thought about it,
That's an example,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I'm adding one more thing about retention. We are in a battle for retention of tourists, businesses, people that live here, people that want to go to school here, families, you know, so beautiful spaces help retain all the above. And so again, our lens, our purpose is to help enhance the public spaces that are going to form and function for the work, but we're going to help create the retention and the beauty and the humanities that every good city needs.
Thank you. Are we good? Seeing no commission discussion, is there any public comment on agenda item number 5.1?
For those joining in person, please proceed to the public comment podium and fill out the public comment information card. We are currently on item 5.1. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer on the podium and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. I'm requesting comments from those who are in person. Is there anyone who'd like to make a public comment on the current agenda item? Seeing no request for public comment is now closed.
Thank you. I'm now calling agenda item number 5.2, the Visual Arts Committee Report, and I am introducing Committee Chair Susie Ferris to present the report on the Visual Arts Committee.
Thank you so much, President Collins. I am happy to give the Visual Arts Committee Report for November 19, 2025. And we reviewed several projects. First project on slide one here is our 2026 Art on Market Street poster series. We have the final design by Adrian Arias, posters for the first installment of the 2026 Art on Market Street poster series were reviewed and approved. You can see the examples here. The theme of this series celebrates the many layers of the mission neighborhood. Some of these, I'm sure, will be familiar to many folks who live here in the city. Again, great examples of how we can celebrate our community, how we can celebrate the cultures within our community, and how better to do that than telling its story through art. These are projects that go up on Market Street in the bus stops, and so are seen by thousands and thousands of people every day. Next, we have slide two, Chinatown Him Mark Lai Branch Library Renovation Project. The artist review panel recommended Christine Wong Yap, Bijun Liang, and Wendy Chien as finalists for the Chinatown Him Mark Lai Branch Library Renovation Project, and those were presented. The artists will develop proposals, which will be reviewed by the artist review panel in 2026 for a wall-mounted two-dimensional artwork integrated into the five arc niches located on the west wall of the library's historic reading room. And you can see in the slide here at the top left corner where those niches will be located. Those had been windows, which are now covered, so the art will sit within those niches there, still maintaining the character and the architecture of the library. You can also see here art by the three artist finalists who will then create proposals for the artist panel to choose from. And then slide three, we have the Mission Branch Library Project, the final design and construction documentation of Nopal de la Misión, a wall-integrated artwork by Juana Alicia Areza for the Mission Branch Library Public Art Project. This was reviewed and approved. The artwork is being translated into art glass by Jackman Glassworks through a process that merges modern technology with a traditional glass-making technique. You can see examples of it here. One, the final design that will be placed on the glass on the left side of our slide, and then close-up details of some of those pieces, as well as Juana Alicia herself preparing one of the examples that they did to really kind of make sure they vetted the process and things are gonna work as they're hoping. You can see the different colors in her palette next to the example work. And it's just gonna be such a beautiful piece. It will be lit from the back as well to kind of imitate the light coming through what used to be a window. And one neat kind of feature about that lighting effect is that they'll be able to mimic the light of the sun as it moves, you know, throughout the day to kind of give that different kind of effect of lighting behind the piece. And such a beautiful piece. And, you know, what a great way to celebrate Juana Alicia as one of our amazing local artists and mural makers at the Mission Library. Please.
Yeah, thank you for this. This material is really amazing. It's not printed. It's actually melted glass. So these color samples get ground down, and then they melt in. And the way that she works it in creates texture within the glass, so because of the reflection and stuff. So I can't wait to see it finished. It's really going to be beautiful. We asked to bring the sample in, but I think it's too heavy. Maybe next time. We'll get you a card.
Yeah, we got to see the little samples, and as Commissioner Walker was mentioning, you can really see the variation in color, which I asked about is meant to mimic that feeling of watercolor on the glass, and you know how they are, again, props to staff and the amazing fabricators that you guys choose and work with, to be able to figure out how can we replicate watercolor effect onto glass. It's going to be amazing.
Into.
Yeah. So, and it's not on our, one last note about this project. The artist team worked diligently to adjust the artwork design to fit the window niches that have shifted and morphed over time with settling of the building. The artwork will be fitted with a wood trim jamb that will protect the art glass from being touched by any future shifting of the window frame. So if you can imagine, there's just enough space, so as the building shifts, it will not affect the stained glass, which is important when we're thinking about the longevity of our art. And one thing I don't think we have a slide for that we did discuss as well is talking about the amazing work that's gonna be at the airport. Are the installation of disco balls, thank you. The installation of the disco balls and the marquees that are inspired by the Castro Theater. So really, really looking forward to that as that project progresses. With that, I am concluding my report in case, unless any other commissioners have comments, please.
Hi, Commissioner Musler here. I just want to point out something. The Mission Branch Library Project is one of those examples of the important relationship between artist and the commission and the art commission, where they could translate a piece of art into what it's going to take place here and the process in between and all the different parties involved to make something like that happen. It's one of those things where when I think about, for example, the meeting that's coming up about December 3rd and how they're thinking about combining different commissions, and it makes me think about the amount of detail, the amount of attention, and the amount of work that happens, and how important that is. And I would hope, and this is a clear sign of that. That's what this work is. To me, what it represents is like someone, local artist, into a public space for years to come. So I just wanted to comment on that and emphasize how important it is of the work that the commission does for San Francisco and the future of San Francisco and artists.
Yeah. So I guess my question, we talked a lot about the durability of the material on this particular project, and it's just been on my mind recently. Is this a, do we imagine that this is there for 50 years or 100 years? Is there, when we're fabricating the art and kind of making the agreements with the artists and the building, are there timelines that are specified? And in terms of the up, like, is it the public libraries department? That, do they? Great. No.
Staff
yeah.
Close.
Great. Staff. And is the library in charge of keeping it up, or are we? Is it part of the public? Anyway, this has been a topic on my mind recently. I'm very curious. Kind of, this seems like a great example of something that's new, and it'd be great for the public and all of us to know kind of what you all are doing, because I know you're doing a lot.
We do. We will, when it's installed, we will own and we will maintain this artwork. It will become part of the Civic Art Collection. And our contracts do stipulate that the artwork is intended to have a lifespan of 25 years. And so that is like kind of what is standard among all of our contracts. So we do, I mean, we hope that it will last longer than 25 years. And we do, in our fabrication of these works and our selection of those sites, intend for it to be, you know, installed for a longer period of time. Yeah.
But that 25 years is standard for all of our public
art. For all of our contracts.
And is that a pretty, that seems like a standard thing you would do in a civic art collection. I mean, it seems, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's very helpful information.
This is Commissioner Beltran speaking, and I also wanted to point out, as the chair of our group was saying, that we actually had extensive questioning when we were discussing this piece at VAC in terms of the longevity. We asked about if the lights could be replaced, how easy that was in case the LED lights burned out. So it's something that we pay very, very close attention to. And Mary keeps us honest in that as well.
If I may add something too, is it was a really unique opportunity to identify this space as the space for the artwork. And it goes back to this conversation that you all were having regarding the integration between CDR and VAC. It does really offer us the opportunity to connect with the architects very early on in the process and identify and work with them closely to identify this very special and unique location for this work. And so I just wanted to offer that as another example of the very close and integral relationship there is between our public art and our civic design.
Well, further on that point, you know, we're flipping back to the airport for a second. But imagine some of those absolutely large mosaic or tile or ceramic pieces, right? The amount of load that's sitting on the wall and how that's supported, right? So, I mean, this is where, you know, the integration of the structural engineers, you know, coming in, because, you know, it has to be seismically, you know, fit also. So again, you know, you can't arrive at the end of it not having anticipated that there are going to be thousands of pounds of weight in a vertical way on a wall that nobody absolutely has any idea about what's behind it. Right, so you can't come back post facto and do that. And so I want to say thank you for having those types of discussions, you know, at the committee level.
And President Collins, I'm reiterating your point in the sense that I also mentioned at that same meeting how, because of who we are as a city, what we are as a city, the fact that we have to deal with such challenges such as seismic, in terms of whenever we install. So we have to be innovative. And I pointed out at the meeting that our rock star visual art and public art team has actually been inventors to be solving these problems because of our situation. And the example I brought up was when we first did, you know, when the former head of public art, Susan Pontius, was handling the new public art in the entirety of SF General. Our team actually invented a new process because they were faced with the challenge of having 2D art, photographic, that would withstand being splashed with bleach because it was in a hospital. And they actually came up with the invention of actually imprinting on metal those photographic pieces so that they could withstand, you know, thousands of being cleaned. And that's what the pigment was integrated. In the similar way that Commissioner Walker had pointed out, this is a new iteration of stained glass. So instead of staining the glass in the traditional, you know, thousands-year-old tradition, it is actually being, the pigment is being melted inside sandwiched glass. And I'm so excited that Commissioner Walker pointed that out, because then it not only is an innovation on the traditional stained glass technique, but it gives a new dimension because of the texture of the embedded grains of glass that are melted and glass-fired within these new tiles, right, Commissioner Walker? So that is a very, very exciting new example of what our public art team is doing.
I think we're developing some stories for Director Remington. Thank you very much. Right. Is there any further discussion by the commission on the Visual Arts Committee report? Seeing none, is there any public comment on agenda item 5.2?
For those joining in person, please proceed to the public comment podium and fill out the public comment information card. We are currently on item 5.2. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer on the podium and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. I'm requesting comments from those who are in person. Is there anyone like to make a public comment on the current agenda item? Seeing no requests for public comment is now closed.
Thank you. I'm now calling agenda item number 6, which is our consent calendar. Are there any recusals from the consent calendar? Seeing none, we will now take all of the consent items. I'm calling for the commissioner's comments. Are there any comments on the consent calendar? There was a historic note that I wanted to tell you that I named Yerba Buena Lane, Yerba Buena Lane. I was the author of the name, and so it was fun to read that. I'm not taking it off calendar. But it's interesting to go back 20 years later and realize that that idea is still in play. Are there any discussion on the consent calendar by the members of the commission? Seeing none, is there any public comment on agenda item number 6, the consent?
We'll take a motion first.
Oh, may I have a motion, please, to approve the consent calendar?
So moved, Commissioner Beltran.
Second, Walker.
Walker, thank you. Is there any discussion, any public comment on agenda item number 6, consent calendar?
For those joining in person, please proceed to the public comment podium and fill out the public comment information card. We are currently on item 6. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer on the podium and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. I'm requesting comments from those who are in person. Is there anyone like to make a public comment on the current agenda item? Seeing no request for public comment is now closed.
Thank you. This is that time of year. Agenda item number 7 is...
We'll have a final motion.
I'm sorry, the final motion. All those in favor of the consent calendar?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, motion carries unanimously. We're now on agenda item number 7, which is in memoriam. Before we begin in memoriam, I'm asking any commissioners if you would like to call out any of those that are, I'm thinking that perhaps Raymond Saunders, because Commissioner Beltran was at San Francisco Art Institute with Raymond Saunders. So if you have anyone that you would like to read the in memoriam, please note that.
Yes, thank you so much, President Collins. Yes, this is Commissioner Beltran speaking, and I am actually quite sad to see three people here who I knew personally. The first is Kara Q. Smith, who was actually one of my former students. When she was getting her Master of Arts degree in Urban Studies, I was her professor. One of the most talented, promising, young, and incredibly brilliant curators that I've ever met. I'm so proud to have been, you know, part of her circle. And then, of course, Raymond Saunders, my co-faculty at the San Francisco Art Institute. And then the last person who was actually a dear friend was Margaret Tedesco, who I've known for, you know, for also decades, and was just a most talented. I was actually just looking at one of her graphic designs because she was in the marketing department, as well as her own, you know, artistic practice as a performance artist and incredible visual artist. But yes, I will be missed. I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. The first person we honor in memoriam is Kara Q. Smith, who passed on June 17, 2025, at the age of 40. Smith was a writer, curator, and arts advocate who dedicated her career to advancing equity in the cultural sector and expanding public access to contemporary art. Known for her compassion and commitment, she commissioned public art nationwide, supporting emerging artists and critics, and served as manager of programs for Californians for the Arts. She will be remembered for her deep love of art, her ability to build vibrant creative communities, and her unwavering devotion to her daughter, Bernice. Raymond Saunders, a groundbreaking Bay Area artist who rejected racial categorization while deeply engaging questions of identity, passed away on July 19, 2025, at age 90. Known for his influential stance in Black is a Color and his refusal to be confined by artistic or social labels, Saunders created richly layered works that blended abstraction, figuration, and collage. His legacy endures as one of profound originality, intellectual rigor, and unwavering belief in art's freedom beyond constraint. Sadly, I also knew Malcolm Margolin, who published the beautiful book on the history of the San Francisco Arts Commission in 2011. And I don't know if any of you have seen that book, but it's spectacular. And he, of Heyday Press, he actually worked with us to publish that amazing story of our commission. He passed away this year at the age of 85. He was a celebrated writer, publisher, and cultural advocate whose work profoundly shaped public understanding of Native California. As founder of Heyday Books and author of the Ohlone Way, he created enduring platforms for indigenous voices, later co-founding the Alliance for California Traditional Arts and guiding its mission for nearly three decades. Remembered for his wisdom, generosity, and visionary leadership, Margolin leaves a lasting legacy that continues to strengthen California's cultural landscape. Margaret Tedesco, a cherished artist, curator, and steadfast supporter of the Bay Area art community, passed away on October 18, 2025. For more than three decades, she energized San Francisco's creative world through her presence at performances, her experimental curatorial projects, and her influential independent gallery, Second Floor Projects. Remembered as, quote, the conduit, she leaves a lasting legacy of connection, mentorship, and artistic generosity that shaped generations of artists and helped define the spirit of San Francisco.
Thank you for this. So many of our artists, activists have left us this year. I mean, I've known so many of the folks working in our community. I'm only going to read one, but I want to mention a couple of others who are going to get read. Shakiri, who worked on projects with Anne Bleedenthal and Dancers in the Tenderloin, showing the power of art when we combine it with community service and activating out in the community. It's made such groundbreaking efforts, and Alice Wong in the disability community. But Belva, especially, ever since I moved here in the early 80s, she's been the one telling us about cultural events, very much focused on uplifting our arts community always. Belva Davis passed on in September at the age of 92. She was a pioneering Bay Area journalist and the first African-American woman to appear on television in the Western United States. Beginning her career in the 1960s, she became a defining voice in regional broadcast news through her work at multiple stations and as the host of This Week in Northern California on KQED. A champion for equity, she fought for fair employment practices in media, helped expand opportunities for African Americans in entertainment, and earned numerous honors, including 8 Emmys and induction into the multiple halls of fame. Beyond journalism, Davis was a committed advocate for the arts, serving on key cultural boards and helping launch the Museum of the African Diaspora, leaving a powerful legacy across both media and San Francisco's cultural landscape. Alice Wong passed in November 2025 at the age of 51, was a groundbreaking disability justice activist, writer, and founder of the Disability Visibility Project, dedicated to amplifying disabled voices and advancing equity and representation. A MacArthur Fellow, her influential books, essays, podcasts, and public speaking challenged ableism and highlighted the power, wisdom, and joy within the disabled communities. Her partnership with the San Francisco Disability Cultural Center and her leadership in public programs helped strengthen connections between civic institutions and the disability community, leaving a transformative and enduring legacy.
Thank you. This is Commissioner Shioda, and I will read Shakiri. A cherished multidisciplinary artist and cornerstone of the Bay Area dance community, she passed on July 9th, 2025, a creative force whose artistry spanned choreography, dance, writing, quilting, sculpture, and teaching. She was known for work that radiated truth, humor, and heart. For more than 3 decades, she shaped the vision of Sacco Dance Theater and played a vital role in Anne Blumenthal and Dancers and the Sky Watchers Initiative, co-creating powerful community-rooted performances. Her legacy lives on through her expansive artistry and the generosity, presence, and love she brought to everyone around her.
Beautiful.
I will also read for Consuelo Faust, who passed on May 28, 2025, at the age of 72. She was a groundbreaking dancer, choreographer, and educator whose belief that anyone can dance transformed San Francisco's movement culture. She founded the Rhythm and Motion Dance Program in 1979, creating an inclusive and joyful community that continues to engage thousands each year. Known for her theatrical, humorous choreography and her deeply compassionate teaching, she nurtured generations of dancers and fostered a lasting vision of shared creativity and connection.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Was Margaret Tedesco read? Mm-hmm. J.D. read Margaret Tedesco. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that concludes our in memoriam. I would like to just quote one thing that Belva Davis kept on many people's wall. And that was, don't be afraid of the distance between your dreams and your reality. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of the distance between your dreams and your reality. I think that artists have a particular ability to understand that distance between dreams and reality. Artists bring us a way of seeing that only they can open for us. But for Belva to have been a journalist means that she was also an artist. And she brought a type of humanity into everything, but also undaunted courage. And for a woman who was born in Louisiana and raised in Berkeley, and faced so many of the obstacles, she never saw the obstacles as insurmountable. They were heights that she had to soar so that others could also soar with us. So bless you, Belva. And bless all of these artists, creators, the idea factory that we're a part of, that you bring to life through all of the ways in which this commission works. I hope that this is testament to the 100 years of history that this commission possesses, that we lift artists, we help to make our civic purpose have muscle, you know, through the arts. The 3rd of December is an important time and appointment at 1 o'clock right here in City Hall. And I hope that anyone who is here or anyone is listening who sees this work as being vital will speak their mind. Don't let the distance between our dreams and our reality define us. Please. Yes. Please, Commissioner Ferris.
Thank you, President Collins. He is not on the list, but I did want to acknowledge Joe Cohen. He is or was a musician in San Francisco. He played with many, many musicians locally, nationally, including Marcus Shelby. He was in the Marcus Shelby Orchestra. He played with the Jazz Mafia, Realistic Orchestra, Shotgun Wedding Quintet, and like I said, many, many famous jazz musicians across the country. He was one of those voices through his instrument that it was just, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. It was just silk. It was beautiful. One of those musicians that I would just go specifically just to hear him play. It didn't matter what he was playing. It really was the timbre and the sound coming out of his instrument. So really sad to see him go. I don't have his exact date of birth, but I believe he was about 48. Left two young daughters and a community of musicians and artists that loved him.
Are there any other comments by members of the commission? Well, I certainly want to thank the team. There's always a team here at the Arts Commission that created these in memoriam statements. They were really deeply appreciated. So all the work that you put into it makes a difference. Is there any public comment on this agenda item?
For those joining in person, please proceed to the public comment podium and fill out the public comment information card. We are currently on item 7. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer on the podium and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. In requesting comments from those who are in person, is there anyone who would like to make a public comment on the current agenda item? Seeing no requests for public comment is now closed.
Are we good? Have I missed anything? Because, you know, sometimes there's got to be that sweep up. Right? All right, so then I'm now calling agenda item number 8, which is adjournment. Thank you.